Hey everyone, as we go into what I have no idea what day of self-quarantine we are in, I hope this podcast finds you and your loved ones safe and healthy. I keep hearing the term new normal, and I refuse to accept that term. It is not the new normal. It is the new temporary. And if we all do what is being asked and stay socially distant, this too will pass. I have said over and over that the wine world is an incredible place, and I am so honored to be part of it. That has become even more apparent during this time. Many of us would typically be heading to the big cities at least once a week during March and April to attend many wine events, and these have all, for obvious reasons, been canceled. But we don't just go for the wine. All right, yes, the wine is a huge perk. But I have created in real life friendships with so many of these people, and seeing them at these events is really what makes them special. Luckily, we are also determined people. Hell hath no fury like a wine lover without wine. Many wineries have sensed that we need an outlet and have graciously turned to Zoom to have virtual tasting events so we can not only taste their wines, but see our friends' faces again. In the coming weeks, I will be sharing some of these events with you. I hope you not only enjoy learning about the wines, but also listening to the camaraderie that this amazing group of people have. Stay safe. Sláinte.
Hello, Lori.
Hi.
Lori, where are you? Which coast are you on?
I am on the West Coast. I am in California.
So you stayed up there. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I can get back, but I'm not really rushing to get back.
Yeah, I was going to say, we met in New York last time.
Yes.
No? Yeah, so
yes, we did.
It's a long way.
Yes.
It's a long way.
So I had hip surgery in February, so I'm recovering out here. Not heading back anytime soon, it looks like.
Yeah, we just need to relax. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay here from Miami, and wishing I could see you guys all in person, but this is
right.
The thing.
Next time we have to organize something for everyone to get together, so we have a toast in person.
Cheers to that.
Oh, hello, Kathleen. Oh. Welcome. And welcome, Robin.
Hello.
And Jeffrey.
Hello.
Hello, Martin.
Hello, hey. Good to see you again.
Oh, good to see you. This is getting crowded. Nice.
Yes, it is. This is beyond the Brady Bunch thing. I can't see everybody.
I know. You have to flip. You have to go to the next page.
Oh, gosh. I've never seen
everybody. Everybody.
Hello, Anna. Hello, Nicole.
Yeah. All right, so virtual cheers.
Welcome, everyone.
Likewise. Good to have a glass.
Hi, Maureen. Jeff.
Here.
Hey, Wanda. Yep.
Hello, Wanda. Hello. Good to see you again.
Maria, Trish, Trinidad. Hey.
Muy bien.
Muy bien, muy bien.
Hello, Jim.
Nice to see everybody.
Hello. Good to see you.
Thank you for joining us tonight to this tasting, virtual tasting with Lan. We have Lorea and Trinidad.
Hello, Hannah.
You're going to take us through the winery and Kuhlmann 2011.
So, just for the ones that I know some of you, because we have met different parts of the country, but for those that don't know us, I'm Trinidad. I'm the export manager for some of the American countries, including the States. And I've been with the company now 20 years. So, yeah, sounds like a life. and Lorea here that you see next, she is our person responsible for also some markets in the U.S. She's normally in the East Coast in New York, but today she's in Pamplona, where she's naturally from, with the family. So,
yeah, I'm saying now I could leave before the things started to get a little more serious in New York. they're better here in Spain. At least I have my family in a bigger space. So,
right. And unfortunately, Hannah seems to have problems with her Wi-Fi.
So but sorry, Hannah, I can hear everyone. I just seem to not have video right now. So,
oh yeah, that's Hannah.
So
she's taking part of some other parts of the country, more like the Midwest and the Central States. So you have the three women here from land taking care of your country. Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we do it very happily. Yeah. And well, this was a moment that, sorry, I don't see my screen now. 1 second. Here. I'm sharing this screen as we just wanted to say, you know, show pictures while we're here and everything. So, but some of you met Maria, our winemaker.
Yes.
And she couldn't make it. Well, it's 11:30 here in Spain.
Yeah.
At night. She has two kids. So, you know, she has a difficult time to join us. So, yeah, because we told her that everyone was asking how we are doing and everything, and that we were going to do this. But in compensation, we are drinking Coolman while she's drinking Bianca. What can I say?
We're winning here.
I approve.
Okay. So if I go to the next, I know some of you are already familiar with the winery and the vineyard, but just to remind us, what we are drinking, what we are having in this glass, where it's coming from. I think Lorea can explain us better about the vineyard. This is the Viña Lanciano. This is the estate that we have owned from the beginning, from the 70s when we started with Bodegas Land. When it was created, we were lucky enough to have our own vineyard in an area like Rioja, where everything is so parcel and mm-hmm. so spread out, wineries without vineyard. So to have this privileged estate of our own. So I let Lorea tell you, because she knows much more about all this stuff, being an engineer. So.
That's probably not true, because she's been here for 20 years.
I'm drinking now.
Yeah, there is no way I can compete with her knowledge. But I feel like Viña Lanciano is worth the explanation. It's something very unique, as Trinidad say. We have a 72-hectare estate, all surrounded by the river. I think you can all see it on her background, actually. We put the vineyard in there. So it's a meander, but it almost goes around the vineyard. And we have Mazuelo, Graciano, Tempranillo, and some Garnacha in there. And it's unique because of the river, which is one of the main elements that define Rioja, you know, the Ebro River. Also, another element would be the Cantabria Mountains. So if we're talking about the climate, it will be more like continental Mediterranean, and the Cantabria mountains in the picture will protect us from, you know, like all the weather coming from the north. And also the river will protect the vineyard always from frost. That we were in risk this week. For what I've heard, parts in like Rioja were like a little worried about it. And also for the summer stream temperatures, it always helps to control, to balance them. About the wine, the winds, sorry. We have two main winds that are affecting the vineyard. One is the Cierzo that comes from the north, and the other one is the Solano that comes from the south. With all those elements, we can define the vineyard a little bit, but we don't have to forget about the soil. It's mostly pebbles, and come from the river. Basically, we're defined by the river, yes. And about the vineyard, the vines that we have at the Viña Lanciano are quite old. they go from like 40 to 60 years, and we have different training systems, but you can see there the base. And the elevation is around 400 meters, which is, it has some elevation. If you see the picture, it seems like it's flat. It's right by the river, but I just want you to tell, I just want to tell you that it has some elevation from the river. And then the orientation is north-south with some inclination. So the vineyard is inclined, so we can get the most isolation and best ripeness and expose our bunches. And that will be it for the vineyard, the main factors.
Yeah, I'm also going to
set it. If you have questions, you can always interrupt us or like just write them on the chat.
We are here to enjoy, not for us to bore you.
So. Yeah, totally.
Feel free
yeah.
to ask anytime. I just wanted to show how the vineyard is supposed to be now, because we are at the time of the year where we call this the tears. Like the vineyard is crying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, because now is when the sap is coming up from the roots and the budding is starting soon. We are a bit scared now because of the weather we have, because mm-hmm. it's quite cold. Today we even have rain, a little bit snow. Of snow. So this is delaying the budding about 1 or 2 weeks. At that time, it should look more like this,
yeah.
like everything coming. So we were a bit scared that we will get some frost or something these days. I don't know what's going on in Rioja, but for the past, every time that has to snow is March, end of March. I don't call it climate change, call it whatever. But it's like our spring, we start with a bit of cold and snow.
When did the snow happen in previous years? Like 10 years ago, when was the snow happening?
I have seen snow here in November.
Mm-hmm.
Logroño, Rioja is an area that is not very cold, and our elevation is not that high. So normally when we have snow, it's 2 days most, and it normally doesn't stay. I remember we had a snow some years ago, and actually we went to the vineyard just to take a picture of it. To have a picture of the vineyard with the snow, and March is very rare. I think the last time it snowed in March, it was like seven years ago.
Okay.
Something like that. I remember I had visitors and we couldn't go because it was terrible. So it's weird. I don't know. And now it's, you know, almost April. We should be kind of having another type of weather, but yep. That's how it is.
There have been some unusually late snows in some other parts of Europe just this week. Yeah. I've seen people posting just a dusting. We don't put the snowblower away in Minnesota until the end of April.
God, you are in Minnesota, Jeffrey.
Oh my.
Then what we have here today for you is nothing. It's just some drizzling. For us, it's like a snowflake, but for you, that's nothing.
Yeah.
My God, this is changing. So anyway, I just wanted to show you what will be next coming from the vineyard in the future. That will be, I mean, there will be another things in between, but we are just getting to the point, to the harvest. So these are some images of our harvest, the team that comes to take care of it. Our vineyard is normally ready before the rest, because we also control another 400 hectares, so the vineyard is always the first one to be ready. So we always start with the vineyard around beginning of mid-September. So, and it lasts for 2-3 weeks. And then when we are done with our vineyard, then we will take care of harvesting the rest.
Trinidad, Martin was asking if the 10 is the same year after year. And for what I've heard from Jose, they try to repeat. Is that correct?
From the people harvesting? That what is happening year after year?
The people that does the
harvest. Yeah. Jose, actually, I'll show you. The ones you see down there, Jose and Pedro.
Yes.
Jose is the person in charge for the vineyard for the last 25 years or so. He comes from Portugal. And this is Pedro, his son.
Yeah.
He's continuing the tradition. Mm-hmm. He knows people in Portugal and around here. So normally it's the same team coming to do all the labors that take care in the vineyards. So also the pruning, the harvest. So they know everything already for many years.
Will that be tough this year because of everything that's happening?
It's a bit early to say. We hope so. Yeah. We hope September will be back to normal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, some other sectors, like there is a big production of strawberries in the south of Spain, in Huelva and parts of Lake Andalusia, and they were having a shortage of labor because of the conditions.
Mm, right.
Yeah, because the movement between countries, normally those people get the labor from Morocco. They're very skilled, and they come like harvest after harvest, or like seasonal workers. And they were having issues during the season to get labor. So we just hope that by September, things will be a little more back to normal.
And now, what about right now, as far as how the winery is working, is everything pretty much business as usual within? I mean, obviously not business as usual, but you still have the same team in place right now for who you normally have?
Yeah. Everyone that can work from home is working from home.
Okay.
Production and warehouse were going for the last 2 weeks. This week and next week, because, I mean, we have reduced our... every day, production is kind of on standby, so they go when it's needed, and the warehouse is opening a couple of days a week.
Okay.
So we are still working, we are still functioning, we are even more organized because now we know every day and we plan very much what needs to be done, so we minimize the days that we or the team needs to go to the winery.
Hmm. And the vines don't care, right?
Vines don't care.
They keep moving.
Yeah. We are still, I mean, the team, Jose and Pedro now are still taking care of the vineyard as much as they can, always under the health suggestions. Taking care of that, but yeah, as you say, the nature is going by its natural
right.
cycle, so we need to follow that.
I wonder how are conditions in Rioja region compared to other regions of Spain.
You mean with the crisis?
With the crisis, yeah, a little less, a little worse, about the same.
We were one of the first areas to get infected. Yeah, it was Madrid, Basque Country, and Rioja.
Okay.
Because there was a focus somewhere. But they also say we are one of the areas where the health system is working best.
Okay.
We are more organized. I think Navarra is the same. Now, Lorea, you have less people.
Yeah, I think it has also to do with the density that we have here. These are communities that are very low populated, that have low populations.
Yes.
So the main focuses in Spain will be Madrid and Barcelona, and Madrid and Catalonia as a as states
mm-hmm.
leading the numbers. We are grateful that our health system is like good, mm-hmm. and there were not many. So sometimes, like, rural areas or more rural communities have some issues mm-hmm. that are, you know, like, they're facing challenges in daily life. But in this situation, I think we had to benefit from that, too.
Yeah.
Is it tough for them to get the pickers they want on the perfect day for the grapes?
Well, one of the most important things, and Maria always says is crucial, is to determine the right time for the harvest to avoid all these vintage kind of effect. So we know more or less when every vineyard is going to be ready because we follow the whole summer, the whole cycle, and we talk to the pickers already in advance to be ready to come here on time, and we tell them when to harvest every parcel, every area, because not the whole vineyard is ready at the same time. Every variety has a different cycle, so we start depending on how it's needed. So everything is programmed before, and everything is determined before.
Mm-hmm. What's the average age of the vines here?
The average is between, in most of the vineyard, is about 35-40 years, but then we have the oldest part, the Pago El Rincón, where the Culmen is coming from, where we find 40 to 60 year old vines. Very low yields. The average in the vineyard is about 4,000 kilos per hectare when the appellation allows 6,000. In the vineyard, we have about around 4,000. In the Pago El Rincón, it's about 3,500. And depending on the year, like the 2011, because of the drought and the conditions, it was even lower than 2,500 kilos.
Yeah. We also have a question, like, how is the fruit pick for the Culmen? And, like, everything in Viña Lanciano is hand harvest. I don't know if we've said that before, but we do a double selection. First at the vineyard, where I'll the hand harvest, and then we select grain by grain at the winery at the right after reception. They say, I know D12 is 10-12. Is there something like that for this wine? I will say the origin of the grapes, right, Trinidad? Maybe like the parcels or the older vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
This wine, culmen, it comes from Latin, culmination. So what we want to show is the culmination from our oldest vineyard or our oldest parcel in excellent years. So we only produce it when it's in excellent years, always as a reserva. So most of our wine, I mean, how we work with our wines is that everyone is different because its origin, the origin of the grapes. And therefore, depending on the origin and how we see the wine, then the process, the aging process is tailor-made for each of them. So the Crianza, the Reserva, the Culmen, everyone is having a different aging because different type of oaks are deciding. Welcome, Brad.
Hi.
Hello. No problem. Maybe you know that we use a lot of different type of oaks. Actually, Maria has spent all her career studying the influence of the oak in the wine. So we work with French oak.
And the latest novelty is
Spanish oak. We just launched that Spanish oak, the aging.
I do have an oak question for you. Tasting the wine today and reading the notes, the notes read 100% French oak. I swore that there was dill, that I could smell dill in the, you know, in the aromas. Beautifully done, but I usually associate that with American oak.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you have comments or, you know, specifically on the aging for the Culmen.
Yeah, actually the Culmen, first with this wine, there are two wines, three wines depending. We do the malolactic fermentation in new French cask. And after the malolactic, it's aged in the same cask for another 26 months. And then after that, we keep it for about 20 months in the bottle. I find this wine, I open it half an hour before we started. And what I find is always like a live wine, because it's always showing something different in your glass. Like you start and then in 10 minutes it's something different, and then in another 10 minutes it's open and it's a bit more different. So you get all that black fruit, but then you get all that, also the resinos, the licorice, even some of the smokiness. For us it's very important, I mean it has been 26 months in the cask, but for us it's very important that balance between the fruit and the oak. So that's why all this research and all these innovations always do to match that balance between the two of them. So, yeah, I guess sometimes you smell things that you associate to other type of oaks, but depending on the tannins, the toast, you find it also where you don't expect it. So I hope that's a nice surprise.
When was the last time you made one of these? You said you don't make them every year. When was the last vintage?
10. Before 10, exactly. These are the vintages we did. We started with the 94. That was the first one. It was launched, I think, when I joined the company in 2000, something like that, or 2001. Then it was 95. And then from that, we moved to 2001, mm-hmm. 2004, 5, 7, and 11. And yeah. The next one is 15. The next one will be the 15 vintage.
And when are you going to release the 15?
We are just now. This next month, about that. So we are drinking the last of the 11. Enjoy.
Yeah.
We need to get back together again to taste the 15. When it's done.
Okay. Yeah.
Deal?
That's a plan?
Yes.
And actually, the 11 being an excellent year, it was difficult because it didn't rain, we had some drought, the acidity went down, then it was recovered, then the production was lower, but we had a good health state of the grapes. And very concentrated because of the stress. Very small, how do you call it, grain, very small fruit. Yeah. So we had all that concentration also there. So, have you tried, I mean, some of them have, I know they have tried with me and Maria or Enrique, but had you tried the wine before, or is this the first time?
This is the first time I'm having the Coleman.
Ah, yeah, we had the limitada in with lunch that time. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we don't show it that much around. It's just a small, the Powell Rincon is just 15 hectares. So we produce what we produce from there and the limitada. So it's a small production. Go ahead, Laura.
Sorry, a little interruption. Someone was asking about the wine festival, the Yara Wine Festival, which I don't have any certainty about it, and especially because we are in a different part of Rioja, so we're not part of it, and we don't have like a official confirmation. But for what I found out, it is there is not any official statement. But I think that it's probably going to be canceled this year or postponed, like many things are. It's at the end of June, which seems like a little risky to have so many people together. I'm just talking for my experience. I'm from Pamplona, and they are talking already about postponing the big party of San Fermín. So
Yeah.
I think that that festival is probably going to be postponed. Yeah.
We are having a great agenda for the second part of the year. Starting from September on, we are going to have Easter festival, San Fermín, Bulls, everything at the same time. I don't know.
Well, I think in September we should do the Otto Wine Festival again. I've been. I had a blast. So I think we should just postpone it. We should all come.
Okay.
I agree.
We should all celebrate. Definitely. Once we are done through this, we should celebrate any way mm-hmm. we can.
My 40th birthday is in a month, so I'm totally down for Rioja in place of that. So.
Actually, you don't look a day over 47.
is that the wine talking?
Quite possibly.
Kind of like my birthday is not supposed to be a 40th this year, and we had all kinds of big plans. To Europe, maybe to Spain. I'm happy to make a trip when this is all over.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll all be happy.
Everything.
Yeah, you get to postpone your birthday too. You're still 39.
Hi, James.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hello, James. Welcome.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien. Enjoying a glass of wine. My neighbors must think I'm crazy. Drinking wine at 12 almost.
That should be normal for you or them.
So I actually had a question here about the wine, about the 2011 uh-huh. in particular. And actually, by the way, nobody anymore is allowed to judge when you're drinking wine. Our happy hour has started at like 6:30 in the morning most days.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. You're either very late or very early. Okay. You know, you said 2011 was kind of an outlier in terms of the conditions over the course of that growing season. This is the first time that I'm having this wine, that I'm having the Coleman. So how is the 2011 indicative of the style that you normally achieve with this or go for with this? Or is this because of the smaller berries and the issues you have with the acidity, is this different than if I had... You know, when we all come to Spain next month and we have the new one, how is this different or the same?
Well, one of the things that we also try with our wines year after year, vintage after vintage, and that's why it's so important to find the harvest time, not to have that vintage effect, is the consistency also in the style of the wines. So the idea is that you always have, I mean, it might vary a little bit because at the end it's a different year or a different condition. But what we try with that concentration on the harvest, the timing, is to find a wine that people can identify from vintage to vintage. Because we found that sometimes people are used to a wine and then it's here and then it comes down, so it doesn't give the people comfortable feeling of I know what I'm going to have. It has some little hints of what the vintage might have been a bit different, but for that Maria worked with the blendings, the timings, the timing the oak, the aging, the type of oak. So that around it is combined. I used trying to look for wines that are consistent year after year.
Thank you. It's delicious.
No, thank you. I'm glad you enjoy.
Trinidad, I was going to ask you a question, Trinidad. Regarding the classification as a reserva, could this be a Gran Reserva?
No. I mean, a wine is what it is because what it says on the back label. Reserva, if I keep it longer. I mean, if we wanted to, because of the time, the aging, because it has been 26 months in the oak and 20, you know, you think it is. But to be a Gran Reserva, actually, we select something else. We decided this wine always to be a Reserva. So regardless of if we do the months, because maybe a vintage might be the months for a Gran Reserva, but some other vintages might not.
Okay.
So we are not going to play with different vintages. It's always a reserva.
Okay.
Like the Lan Edition Limitada sometimes could be a Crianza, but it's never classified as Crianza. We always keep it as a young wine or whatever. So we play with the months.
Okay.
We don't need to follow the minimum then.
All right.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see you very quiet.
Oh, sorry.
No, so go ahead, Lorea.
I'm gonna be in charge of like remind you the questions. Someone was asking about the price for 2015, and I'm gonna go in the I'm gonna follow Trinidad in the consistency. The same that we're very consistent in the quality, we tend to be consistent in the prices. So it might be a little rise because, you know, of the taxes sometimes, or because of, you know, the costs go up. But it is not going to be like other markets where like vintage has a lot of effect on the pricing. I hope that helped.
And now a word from our sponsor. Dracena Wines hopes that you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. As we navigate our way through these murky waters, we know that wine can help keep us on track. Without the ability to pour our wines for you, we realize that you may be hesitant to purchase. We understand that delivery charges are a big hindrance in choosing what wines you consume. To help with that concern, we are currently offering $5 shipping on any $130 purchase. In addition, our six-pack offer is still available. Receive two bottles of our 92-rated 2017 Classic Cabernet Franc, two bottles of our Best of Show 2016 Reserve Cabernet Franc, and two bottles of our Double Gold winning 2017 Reserve Cabernet Franc, delivered to your door for only $220. That is over a $50 savings. Now is the time to give us a try or to replenish your collection. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. And we all can use some great memories right about now.
I don't know if you had dinner already, but here I show you one of the things that we do in the vineyard sometimes. After harvest and everything, we have the pruning, and this is a break people having at the vineyard during the pruning. This is what we call, what you see on the bottom is the chuletillas, the, what do you call that, Lorea, ribs? No.
Yeah.
Lamb chops?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know it's your dinner time, so some idea. So, you know the shots that are cut during the pruning is what we use as the bottom, and then we put the grill, and then you put the lamb chops, and that's what we call chuletillas al sarmiento. Sarmiento is the shots. So, that's one of the typical dishes here in Rioja. Mm-hmm. And the shots are giving that a special taste.
That's a very sustainable practice.
Yes. Recycling. Yeah, someone was also asking about the pairings. You know, what would you pair with this wine? I will go with lamb, but in my house, we also love, like, roast. So, like, lamb or even pork. For a steak, I will definitely pair it with meat. I like the spices on the wine and how the structure will balance. You know, like,
sorry, it's my birthday.
But we also would like to hear what you think. What do you think would be a good pairing with it?
So if this to me screams that cheeseburger, I do this like bacon and caramelized onion jam on
top. Mm-hmm.
I think that would stand up to the, I put a little bit of espresso and balsamic vinegar in that bacon jam.
Uh-huh.
Black fruit is ripe enough it would stand up to that. I think the tannins are screaming out for some bacon fat. I'm projecting right now because I'm starving.
Brian, you have read my mind. I had bacon fat screaming. Anything with bacon, you know. William said he used it with cumin. I can see cumin and the onion going in there also. But yeah, bacon fat, it's like a marriage waiting to happen there.
And that smoky flavor of it too.
Right.
Or William is giving up red meat for Lent, so I should not be rubbing it in.
But you know, I just had this with a piece of a brownie with chocolate.
Oh.
Yeah, there's another option.
Chocolate desserts after meal, you know, just a talk after the meal, that's also an option.
I can see it with a nice rich bolognese too.
There's nothing that would keep you from doing this with that flatbread.
Try a lentil bolognese. It would go very well with
bolognese.
We also got another question about promotions. If we are aware of things that can happen because of this crisis, or that people should be aware of. I particularly don't know anything, but maybe Trinidad can add something to this.
I mean, so far we are working normally.
Yeah.
So distributors are doing their best, importers are doing their best. I guess it's a bit early to say if, you know, this is going to tend to another way of behaving on the buying side or anything, but at this moment we are keeping our normal way. This is a quite challenging year after the tariffs,
right?
The virus. I don't know what else.
I don't know, but everybody
just make us stronger.
Sorry? Everybody who complained about 2019 is probably biting their tongue now.
No, it's challenging. It's going to be challenging.
Has both, I guess, Lon seen an increase perhaps in orders? Because at least in the U.S., I know there's a lot of wine purchasing occurring right now.
Yeah. I think everyone is trying to be cautious, looking at their stocks, seeing what they need, and trying to get prepared. Everyone is different. We don't work with just one importer. We work with 10.
Yeah.
So each of them are following their own needs. But we see, they tell us that in some areas especially, they are seeing an increase on sales.
Okay. Thank you.
Supermarkets.
Sure.
Like same as the toilet paper, I guess.
It should be your second thing in the tray.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I have a question for you. There were some regulation changes in Rioja this year, moving towards allowing single vineyard labeling.
Yeah.
Cullman is it. If I read it right, it actually is a single vineyard wine.
It is.
Does Lan have an opinion on those changes? And are you going to, just curious your thoughts on that, and will you see any differences going forward?
No, I mean, we think it's a very good thing. It's very positive because at the end of the day, what they are doing is putting into value the origin of the small plots and that actually is what we have been doing in our vineyard for all this time. We have been taking care of small plots. We have like 20, 22 parcels in the vineyard, and everyone has been always taking care of differently. So it's putting the value to the origin and the size. Having said this, we haven't started any movement about getting the certification or anything like that. We are kind of waiting and see what the reaction is in the market to these new things, and
we are just keeping our classifications as they are at this moment.
Sure. And you have an established name and established position for this particular wine. I was just curious what the regulation changes, what the thoughts were at LAN.
Yeah, we are positive. I mean, we think it's positive. It's good because of that, because of the value. And we are happy because that's what we have always been doing. But at this moment, we are not planning on applying on that. We'll see how it goes.
I'm always curious, if I can jump in. When it comes to a wine like this, how much of a library do you keep back?
We don't keep that much, actually. I mean, Maria, the winemaker, she keeps some bottles for herself for tastings over the years. She's smart, eh? Thank you. But we don't have like a library in the winery that people can come and buy all the vintages.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Turning that, I have a question regarding the composition. Is it always obviously a dominant Tempranillo wine with some Graciano? So is Graciano the secondary partner always, or is it use Mazuelo or Garnacha as well?
In the last vintages, actually, we have seen it blended with Mazuelo, with Graciano only. In this one, is 12% Graciano. I have to say Graciano is Maria's favorite red variety. She likes being a long cycle, the complexity that it gives, the structure, the color, and the acidity. So she finds that also how it has been used traditionally, blending with the Tempranillo, it gives a lot of more expression and value to the wine. So normally in the last years, it has been blended with Graciano. Some previous vintages has had also some Mazuelo, but in the last couple of vintages, I remember only Graciano, to be honest. I mean, I'm talking memory, but I remember the last two with Graciano only.
Is this a low production? How much of this is made?
8,000, 10,000 bottles. We still have a few hundred to drink.
Yeah.
Do you do any large format bottlings? Do you do this in Magnum?
Yeah, actually, we have Magnum, but you don't see it in the States.
That's sad.
Yeah. you all need to come here to our new social area.
Yeah,
the wine bar. Exactly.
Okay, so you've now said that twice. I think we're all like Beetlejuice. If you say it a third time, it
just
happens.
I know, sorry. I will say it's wine drinking. Or not.
When we're allowed to, we will all come.
And great. And speaking from personal experience, Trinidad is a very, very good tapas crawl.
Yeah, I agree.
Logroño has one of the best tapas crawls in Spain, and Trinidad knows where to go.
Logroño is heaven, quite frankly.
Yeah, actually, it's a nice place to live when we can go out.
Well, we are all coming to see you, Trinidad, I promise.
Okay, we'll do that. There are no secrets in Logroño for me now. No. Yes, they are. It's weird because we are such a... here, especially, I mean, being in the north, that people think being colder and we are always inside. We like to be in the street a lot, eh, Lorea? For us, the house is for sleeping. So you always see people outside when they leave the office, just before going home for dinner, they will have a drink just before going home. And now it's weird to see empty streets. Being such a social area is weird to see that.
Yeah, the Paseo is one of my favorite traditions in Spain.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear, at least in Minnesota, over in a suburb, we're such an automobile society that now with the shelter in place restrictions, we see our neighbors from a safe distance. People are out walking, people are out riding bicycles. It's really interesting that the cars have gone down quite a bit and people are out.
Yeah.
You know, again, being safe and everything, but it's just kind of interesting to hear the contrast.
Okay. Here, you know what is funny? I was talking to a friend of mine this afternoon because when this started, we all got together at 8 to go out to our balconies, windows, and everything to give an applause to people working in the healthcare. And when this started, it was night at 8. But we changed our hour this weekend, and now it's daylight. So people can see each other in pajamas. So we are discovering our neighbors. When it was dark, you know, you could go out like whatever.
I did see a few comments before the chat. Referring to getting dressed and washing hair.
Yes.
I've been here for 3 weeks and now I'm like, oh my God, when I go out, do I know how to wear something that is not my sneakers?
Yeah. Hello. Thank you for your interest. I know you are asking, and greetings from here. We are living difficult moments, but fortunately, we stay healthy. And we enjoy a wine this night with my family. Take care and stay at home. Bye.
Bye. It's funny. There's a hole in my glass and the wine keeps draining down.
Gonna need another bottle.
I was gonna say Mike is gonna be very upset that he's working late tonight because
so after this video, I don't know if any of you have questions, so feel free to, you know, like keep asking us whatever you want.
I don't have questions. I just have to say the wine is beautiful, and it yeah. I agree with Trinidad that it has completely evolved. You know, I poured it at 1:30 and it completely have evolved since then.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree. It's really opened up so nicely and it's very soft and elegantly structured. And there's just some special essence there. I love it.
Thea, do you have enough alcohol?
Well, Martin, the funny thing is, as we look at somebody else's wine cellar, the funny thing is that is all just my regular bar and my samples. My actual wine cellar is in the guest room, aka the wine suite, and that's only half of my cellar. The other half is off-site, which I can't get to right now because they're closed. So I'm having to suffer with my 400 bottles in my house.
Oh, my God. Poor Thea.
You could be confined for a year.
Well, there are
and
some.
And then I have a bottle every day.
I think Thea may go opt for more than one bottle a day.
Only occasionally, you know, up until what? Until I was laid off from this lovely virus, you know, it was a bottle every 2 days. But yeah, it's a different ball game now. So. Airport drinking rules. That means you can drink, you know, like 3 cocktails at breakfast. It's totally acceptable.
It will help us get through our samples a little easier, I think, right?
Agreed.
Yeah.
I've replaced my Coravin with my liver.
Yeah. So, guys, just a quick toast to everybody. I've been on mute because there's crazy sirens in the background. But thank you so much to the team in Spain for staying up. And thank you, everybody, for coming and toasting. And please stay safe and well. And we're thrilled that you could join us tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Lovely to be a part of this. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay safe.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt-Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, sláinte.